Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
EAGLES Eagles.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Philadelphia Eagles fans. It's a big day in Eagle Land for all of you who've been following on Jacob Sports all off season long. We have been waiting and waiting and waiting for this moment. The Philadelphia Eagles officially reported for training camp yesterday, and they are officially on the field today. So some good stuff coming today. We'll have a full slate of shows in the back half of the day. We'll have the National Football Show with Dan Cilio at 2 o'clock, and we'll have Birds 365 at 6 p.m. tonight. So a nighttime edition of Birds 365 tonight. So I'll have John McMullen on for the full 2 hours tonight after he returns from the NovaCare complex. So good stuff there. Excited to see what all comes out of camp today. We'll get video. I'll do some videos of you know, the reactions to the videos. As I mentioned, Nick Sirianni speaks at 9 a.m. So a lot going on today in Eagle Land. We've been doing it all offseason. Not a lot going on for the last 7 weeks. So very exciting time. We welcome everybody in this morning. Barbara, camp coverage. What's up, Barb? Twiz, Emmanuel, Andrew, Dev, Joe Whip. Good morning, everybody. We appreciate you guys being here. Just me this morning. I'm going to go live for about an hour this morning. We're going to run through some camp storylines. Obviously, the big one right now is Cooper DeJean out. Philly 559. Good morning, brother. Appreciate you being here. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get into some other things that we're looking for as camp begins. I'll have a premiere running at 9 a.m. Nick Sirianni is supposed to speak at 9 a.m. So we'll see what he has to say. And then later on in the day, as I mentioned, our regular programming will go live with Dan Cilio and Birds 365, a nighttime edition, which I'm excited to do tonight. So we'll be live back again. Me and Johnny Mac will be live 6 p.m. tonight. For anybody checking in, not aware of that, there will be a show. Birds 365 didn't go anywhere. Just doing it tonight because Johnny Mac is down there at NovaCare Complex. So pretty good stuff. I want to thank everybody again for being here. A lot of stuff to talk about. Very exciting. Let's get into Cooper DeJean, everybody. Came down yesterday in the evening that Cooper DeJean will be missing at least 3 weeks with a hamstring injury. I tell you what, everybody, I don't want to make too much of this. Obviously, it's not something we need to overreact to in this time, but this is something that it's a domino effect here. You know, he's going to miss now the first 3 weeks of camp, which when you're a rookie, those are the most important weeks. You're watching how they're installing the beginning of your defense. They're watching the beginning installations of the offense. And Cooper's now not going to be on the field for any of that. So for anybody, and I, me included, who is excited to see Cooper in a starting role maybe come September 6th, I think that the chance of that happening is very, very slim with this injury. I'll get more updates from John McMullen later on the injury. Joe Whip says it's a hammy. It is a hammy. So Jeremy Fowler broke that last night on ESPN. And that's not good. That is not good for our rookies. Cooper DeJean is one of those big, exactly. Barb says, you know, those hammies can linger. That's trouble. That is big trouble for a young guy like Cooper DeJean that's trying to work his way onto the field. You know, it also opens up that hole back into the defense in terms of who are they going to keep, you know. When you do these discussions all off season long, and we're like, who are they going to make? Who's going to make the team? Who's going to start here? Who's going to get cut? You can't factor in injuries yet because you don't know, but you know they're going to happen. And then we haven't even reported to camp. This is an NFI injury, so non-football injury. I guess it happened. That was something that Cooper was doing in the off season. I'm not sure If we learn that information, I will try and find that information for you guys or get the report from John McMullen, who might be privy to that information. But hammies can linger, and this is definitely something that's not positive for Cooper DeJean. And as I mentioned, it opens up that back end. Avante Maddox just became more valuable. Isaiah Rogers just became more valuable. Quinyon Mitchell even just became more valuable, because if they put him on the outside, you know, now you need somebody on the inside if that's where they were going to play Cooper DeJean. So this is definitely a big setback, I would say, for Cooper DeJean. I don't want to make too much of it. I don't want to overreact to it, but I also don't want to underreact to it, because, you know, we drafted two corners with our first two picks this year, and we are expecting a lot of things from them early and often. And we're not going to see Cooper DeJean probably for this first couple weeks of the year because of this injury. It's gonna set him back a little bit. He's not going to be there to start camp. This is a rookie player trying to get up to speed. So look, I don't want to make too much of it, like I said, but I don't want to underplay it either. This is not ideal. It's not ideal for our defense. It's not ideal for our secondary, who's very young, and now Cooper is going to be set back, no doubt about it. Some good comments here in the chat. I appreciate y'all being here. Spike and Prince, Bleed Green, we appreciate it. Bleed Green says, Shane, valuable time going to be missed for the rookie in minicamp. Absolutely, Bleed Green, not minicamp, training camp now. But, you know, absolutely, no doubt about it. This is, you know, even second-year guys, third-year guys, this happens to them. And you're like, all right, at least they've been through it once. At least they know the ropes. At least they understand the game, the NFL. They've seen a couple seasons. Cooper DeJean hasn't seen any of it. It's new to him completely. And now the first 3 weeks, which you could argue are probably the most important weeks of the camp, when you're installing, you're getting on the same page, you're communicating, you're talking to coordinators. You know, he'll be talking to people, I'm sure. He'll be communicating. He'll be doing some things. But he will not be out there. And that's definitely problematic. And then you also add Vic Fangio into the mix. Vic Fangio is not watching you play. He's not thinking about you on the starting roster. So we'll see how it plays out for Cooper DeJean. Definitely was upset to see that come down last night. But that's how it played out. So we'll get more into that in a little bit. Nick Sirianni is set to speak to the media at 9 a.m. this morning. So we'll see what he has to say. I'm going to go live again. I'm going to be doing some lives all throughout the day, everybody. I appreciate you being here. But I'm going to try and react to camp news quickly on the channel. I know we have the show at 2 o'clock with Dan Cilio. We have the Birds 365, 6 to 8 p.m. But if something breaks, if something happens, I'm going to jump on, go live, even if it's just for a couple minutes. We'll talk about it. Any guys in the chat, that if you have good comments, I will get to them, no doubt about it. Just me. So bear with me, as this is my first time really doing a solo show. Definitely different for me. Definitely getting used to it. Definitely. I'm no Dan Cilio, where you roll the camera for 4 hours and he can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. So definitely getting acclimated. So your comments are very appreciated, and I appreciate each one of you guys being here. Nick Sirianni is set to speak at 9, so about 50 minutes from now. That's where Johnny Mack is. He's driving down there. He had to get down there early for the credentials and all those things. So we'll see what Nick has to say. You know, this is interesting because I am not one that cares much about press conferences. I do not get too excited about press conferences. I'm like, look, they're just talking. They're not under oath. I want to see what they're doing on the field. But I will say, this press conference is a little bit more anticipated. After everything that's been talked about all in the last 7 weeks, after what Jalen Hurts had to say with the new offense, with, you know, the stories that have come out about Nick Sirianni's role, he gave up the offense, he gave it up to Kellen Moore. So a lot of people are going to be waiting for what Nick has to say here, and I'll go live after that. So when we hear what Nick has to say, it'll be interesting to see. You know, I don't know what to expect of Nick Sirianni this year. It's he has a 34-17 record. He has been to the playoffs 3 straight years, but the epic collapse at the end of last year changed everybody's perspective on Nick very quick, because you always had those things that happened where you were like, I don't like that, or some goofy stuff, or the flowers, or yelling at the Chiefs fans, and you're like, I don't know. But you're winning a lot of games, so you're like, hey, it works, the players are bought in. Last year was the first sign that it wasn't working, and the players weren't bought in, and he wasn't the proper leader of the football team. So how he responds to that, this is new territory for him. So we're excited to see, we're interested to see how it plays out in terms of, you know, What does he say to the media? How does he address the people who say he's been castrated in his at his job, where he's just the CEO coach? He's got no role in the offense anymore. You know, how does he play that up? And then also, how does he respond to it? How does the team respond to it? How does he continue to maintain being a leader, you know, through all that? And that's something, you know, we're definitely all going to be watching. So that press conference this morning is definitely going to be one that people are listening to. People are going to be watching out what he has to say. And, you know, look, like I said, I like Nick Sirianni. The guy wins. You can't dispute a 34-17 record. You can't dispute three straight playoff appearances. You can't dispute an NFC title. You can't dispute a Super Bowl appearance. You can't dispute any of that. But last year was ugly, and now he's going to have to respond. So we'll see how he does that. Carly checking in. He says, when is the practice? So practice this morning, everybody, is 10 a.m. Nick Sirianni speaks at 9 a.m. So they'll be out there by 10 a.m. I'll get hopefully some footage, and I'll be able to share that up on the YouTube. But they're kind of limited. The Eagles are very strict about who can, you know, how much you can video, what you can video, and all those things, which I get it. I'm not asking them to give us free reins or anything. But just so you guys know, I will give you what I get. But it's not, admittedly, it's not very much. But it's very exciting to see. We're going to run through the offense and the defense this morning. I'll be live for about an hour. We're going to run through the offense, what I think on the offense, where we're looking as we head into camp today. Obviously, not much broke other than Cooper DeJean, but we're going to learn a lot more very quickly. And that's why tonight we'll have Birds 365. You know, we'll be able to get John's instant reactions from when he was down there. He's down there right now. And anything that's developing, any, you know, the comments from Nick, all the things. So everything is going to ramp up very quickly, even right after this show ends. I'm live at 8 a.m. Nick talks at 9, and the stories will begin at 9 a.m. So eventually this content's going to be irrelevant very quickly once we get past the press conference and once we start getting on the practice field and we learn more about the team. But the big news right now is Cooper DeJean, who is out 3 weeks, hamstring injury. Definitely a tough one to stomach there. I don't think that's good news for him. I don't think that's good news for the back end of the defense. And, you know, we're going to see how they manage that. Let's get into the offense, everybody, as we get into the offense. I'd be curious to hear from you guys in the chat. I will run through what I'm thinking on the offensive side of the ball. But I'm interested in where you are. When we think about the offense, forget defense. We'll do defense in a little bit. Offense, what's top of mind for all of you guys in the chat box? Bruce, Callie, Barbara, James Carver, Callie Baby, our man Callie Baby, Bruce Banner, Stephen McHale, Stratus, bunch of guys, bunch of our regulars. I appreciate all you guys being here. But what are you guys thinking about? When you think offense, you know, the offense is so damn good. There's so many players on offense. It's hard to believe, like, you know, that they sucked last year down the stretch. But they did. So now it's created this question of, you know, what are we watching as we enter camp right now? I'm watching Jalen Hurts. I want to see Jalen Hurts have a big bounce back year. We're going to go as far as he's going to take us. So he's the number one for me. I think he will. I think he'll answer the call. He's never showed us that he would consistently go backwards. Last year was the first time he took a step back in his career since he's been in the spotlight. I remember back, you know, in Alabama, for those who don't know, I went to the University of Alabama, and me and Jalen Hurts are the same age. So when I was a freshman at the University of Alabama, Jalen Hurts was a freshman at the University of Alabama. I remember getting there, showing up at school in August, and they played their first game early September or late August, and it was in Jerry's World in Dallas, a remote location. It was Alabama versus USC. And it was in Jerry's World. Like I said, we traveled over to Dallas from Alabama, road trip, me and all of my friends from college, or, you know, and Jalen Hurts wasn't supposed to play that game. It was supposed to be Blake Barnett, I believe, or whoever the heck the Alabama Crimson Tide had at the time, you know, and Jalen Hurts trots out there and the whole stadium erupts watching Jalen Hurts, and he smoked that team 52-6. But that's my earliest memory of Jalen Hurts. And my point is, since that moment, when he broke onto the spotlight, wasn't supposed to play that game, he took it. He took the starter. He won the SEC Freshman of the Year, SEC Offensive Player of the Year. Every single year of his career, he has gotten better. Every single year, from year one to year two to year three in college, Then he transferred into Oklahoma. He got better as a passer at Oklahoma. He came to the pros. He only played four games that first year. Then he goes 9-7. Then he has the MVP campaign. Every year, Jalen Hurts was making leaps forward as a quarterback and as everything as a quarterback, not just the athleticism, not just the legs. He was getting better at the position. Last year, first 11 games, I thought he started to show the same. I thought he was doing the same things. Those last six games, last seven games, that's where the first time we've really seen, whoa, did Jalen Hurts take a step back? Whoa. So it's the first time in a seven-year career, you know, going back to college, that you've seen him take a step back. So we got to see how Jalen answers this call. In a way, it's new territory for him, you know, where he hasn't been taking a step back. And we know, look, I think he's going to answer the call. I think he has goes back to MVP form. I think Kellen Moore is the perfect coordinator for him because, you know, when we talk about Jalen and we talk about what we want to see him do better, I think it's the natural progression of any quarterback in the NFL. You know, even Tom Brady. Tom Brady couldn't read a defense perfectly when he was 25 years old. So this is the natural progression where Jalen has done everything else, and now those other things that's going to make him a polished quarterback are going to start to come into play. And you get a guy like Kellen Moore who spreads the ball around, who is used to a more traditional offense. Now, I don't want them to put Hurts into traditional offense, but him being with a coordinator that runs that will force him to learn more about the position. And that's why I'm so excited about Kellen Moore, because it's the first coach player since, I would say, Lincoln Riley, maybe. Now, Doug Peterson, but he didn't have much time with Doug. He had that 1 year. He only started four games. It's the first coach that, and I guess Shane Steichen, but that's a traditional coordinator. So they're going to teach him pocket awareness, reading defenses, spreading the ball around, throwing the ball to the tight end. And I think Jalen, if he can get all those stuff and rise them all up, I mean, the sky is truly the limit for him with his athletic ability and what he's able to do, you know, outside of that. I think it's going to be a massive year for Jalen Hurts. I'm really excited to see how this plays out, guys, with Kellen Moore. I am very high on the Kellen Moore hire. I've been open about that. I think he's a perfect coordinator for here. James Carver, I see your super chat, man. That is very, very nice of you. I appreciate that. I'm going to get to that in just a second. I want to go to some of your guys' concerns with Jalen. Spike says, I know where the venom comes from. Spike, I have no idea what you're talking about, brother. Callie says, true. Prince says, I need to see Jalen with a real offensive coordinator coaching him. Prince, I agree, brother. And that's where I think Kellen Moore is going to be the perfect fit with him. He's going to coach him up. He's going to give him real, you know, traditional quarterback knowledge. I'm not saying I want him to be a traditional quarterback, but that knowledge is going to, you know, think about it as overalls, you know, or he's got over, like you could go to Madden and just be like, I'm good at running. He's going to rise up all the other things that Jalen Hurts isn't used to being great at. You know, it's not his traditional style of game. And if you rise all that up, I'm not saying that he needs to get to A+ in all categories, but if it all rises up, he will become a better player overall. And that's where I'm excited for Kellen Moore. But I do agree with you, Prince. I'm excited to see him with, you know, a real offensive coordinator, a real offensive mind coaching him. Let's go to Broses Max. He says, Jalen was still good, just not elite. His injury did not allow him to do the things he wanted to do. Be dangerous using his legs as a threat. I agree with that. You know, but that's one of the concerns, right, Broses, is, you know, that Hurts did have the injury, and it's because of his aggressive style of play, his running style of play. So, you know, I do agree. He was good last year. He just wasn't elite. And it was probably the turnovers. Many have pointed to that as really the only thing that he effed up last year was that he turned the ball over too much. Other than that, he was still pretty solid. But, you know, turnovers are a big part of the game. You can go, I forget what the Vegas numbers are. We have Philly Godfather on the afternoon show, you know, and all people that bet know turnovers are one of the largest indicators on who's going to win a football game. So Hurts has to tone back on the turnovers, no doubt about it. And we'll see how he does with that this year. Let's go to James Carver's super chat. James Carver, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. $19.99. Any super chats, everybody, will go right to the front. And we will read them, talk about them, and discuss them. I will get input from all of you guys in here. Again, this is my first loan show, so I do appreciate you guys being here. I appreciate your comments. We're going to keep talking about everything, offense, defense. We talked about the Cooper DeJean injury, and Nick Sirianni is set to speak at 9 a.m. Let's read Carver's super chat. My biggest concerns are not Jalen, et cetera. but the O-line, who surprisingly had a significant fall off last year. Lane and Landon both gave up biggest sack totals and pressures of last few years and career. That's true, you know, and it's funny you say that, Carver, because when I think O-line, any concerns I have on the O-line would be, well, you lost Kelsey, and I don't know what Tyler Steen's going to be, right? But you bring up two names who you don't have much concerns about, Lane Johnson and Landon Dickerson, but they gave up their set biggest sack totals and pressures of the last year. Now, I do wonder how much of that is individual versus kind of a result of the team, a result of the offense where they weren't in rhythm. Hurts wasn't getting rid of the ball quick because he was not confident in where he wanted to go with the ball. You know, and when you hold it, obviously it's going to be harder on the offensive line who has to block for longer. So some of the sacks, some of the pressures might have come from that. But you do bring up a good point. These are the two guys. These are two of the guys that we have no concerns about, you know, and technically there is a question there, you know, based on what you had to say, if they gave up their biggest sack total and pressures of the last few years and careers. That's definitely pretty concerning. So good point with you. Very good point with you that, you know, the offensive line is definitely something that's got to be answered. So we talked about Jalen Hurts. We talked about the offensive line. James, thanks for the super chat, brother. I appreciate that very much. Let's go back to Hurts real quick. Joe Whip says, my greatest concern is Hurts. His film at the end of the year was terrible. Yeah, Joe, it was. But here's the problem with that. And I appreciate the comment. And you know, largely, I do agree with you. But here's the problem with that. When you look at the team last year, and I'm not absolving Jalen, by the way. I do agree. The film was terrible. But you can go across that roster, even from the coaches, the top down, everybody's film at the end of last year was terrible. Everybody's. Jalen Hurts' was. A.J. Brown's wasn't great. The offensive lines wasn't great. The running backs, the defense, everybody collapsed. So it's tough to use that in context without adding the other elements of it, where everybody collapsed. It was a team collapse. And obviously, when your team collapses like that, individual numbers are going to go down. So Jalen's numbers were terrible. His film was terrible. But was that more on Jalen Hurts, or was that a product of the team going backwards at the end of last year and, you know, for lack of a better word, collapsing? So I don't want to put all that on Jalen Hurts. I'm not absolving him, like I said, but I will just add that context that, you know, if the team didn't collapse, maybe Hurts would have been all right. They did start 10-1, remember? So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back this year. Kayak checking in. Thank you, Kayak, for being here. Some names I don't recognize, so I appreciate anybody new in here this morning. That's very, very dope. I love talking to our fans. I'm Xander Krause, by the way. I'm the executive producer here on Jacob Sports. I started this 3 years ago, so 3.5 years ago. And I've been working it behind the scenes the whole time. And now I've been more on camera more. So anybody new here, I appreciate you being here. Just giving you more of my backstory, where I come from. I grew up in Philly, right outside of Philly in Montgomery County. And I've been an Eagle fan my entire life, went to school in the city. And, you know, so that's my background there. Kayak says, I would like to see Jalen under center play action. I don't know, Kayak. Look, I get it. I get people want to see the more traditional offense, but that's not really our QB. Our QB thrives in the athletic scenarios. He thrives in shotgun. And, you know, I get why you say that, but is that something that's going to be like, you know, one step forward and then two steps back? Because it's not his game. So if you're trying to create, you know, like the example we always use, like a Brock Purdy out of Jalen, that's just not going to benefit you as much as you'd like it to benefit you. So I get your point. You want to see some more traditional play, and that's where I think Kellen's going to be great. But I don't want to see him become an under center quarterback. That's not his game. That's not Jalen Hurts. So we don't want to change him into that. At least I don't want to change him into that. So you know, we'll see how it all plays out. A lot of good comments, everybody. I'm going to try and get to them all because it is just me solo. So I appreciate you all being here. This is more of an hour for you guys to voice your opinion, me to talk with you guys about it. I'm just up here as the catalyst. Your guys' opinions are just as valuable as mine, and I appreciate each and every single one of them. Let's go to Clubber Lang. Clubber Lang, that's a good obby, baby. Rocky. Clubber Lang. Rocky knocked out Clubber Lang after he killed Mick. Come on, man. Clubber Lang was the villain in that movie. But anyway, good name. Clubber Lang, I'm a big SEC guy. I thought Jalen was no good at Bama, so it's hard for people to change my mind as a Bird. Just because I'm a Birds fan does not make me forget what I see him struggle with. Well, Clubber, I went to Bama, as I mentioned. I'm an SEC guy, too, and I watched every single one of Jalen Hurts' games. Here's where I would challenge you. You're right. Jalen wasn't the most polished passer at Alabama. He had his fair share of deficiencies, and that's why, you know, it ended the way it did, where Nick went off of him, Saban went off of him, and he went to Tua, who was a more of a downfield thrower of the football, moved the ball through the air. Here's what you can't deny. Jalen got better at all those things year after year. Now, he never became this elite pocket passer, but he got better. And then you see 2022 happen in the NFL where he has that MVP type of year, and they come within one drive of winning the Super Bowl versus Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Jalen Hurts arguably outplayed Patrick Mahomes in that Super Bowl. I know he had the fumble, and I get it. I was more critical on him for that fumble than anybody. I'm like, look, you can't fumble the ball in the Super Bowl. I don't give a shit how good you played on the other drives. You fumbled. It cost us a drive. It cost us a point. Cost us the points, and we might have lost the game because of it. But he arguably outplayed Patrick Mahomes. So just like you said, you can't forget what you've seen him struggle with. I agree. I can't forget what I've seen him do that made me go, wow. And it's two sides of the boat. It's context on either end. But listen, I'm not gonna just harp on what he struggled with, because on the same end, I can harp on what he did great. You know, and it's the two sides of the coin. So I don't want to just cherry pick that at all. But I appreciate the comment anyway. You know, the real Zeal says, where's McMullen? So McMullen's down at NovaCare. No, he's not playing softball with the coach. He's down at NovaCare. We're going to do Birds 365, 6 to 8 p.m. tonight, everybody. So make sure you're checked in tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. Johnny Mack is down at NovaCare watching everything up and close. He can't take video of the full thing, so there's going to be things he sees that we don't have video of, and we will get his update on everything. So going to be good stuff tonight, Birds 365, 6 to 8 p.m. Can't wait to talk to Johnny Mack tonight on the show. A lot of good stuff. A lot of great comments, as always. Like I mentioned, I appreciate you all being here. I'm going to take a commercial break in a little bit. We've been live for about 30 minutes. Nick Sirianni's press conference in 30 minutes. Paul, what's up, buddy? Spinbad, MBMMA, Real Zeal, Yale Roth. All of our loyal listeners, we appreciate all you guys being here. Let's go to Prince here. Prince says, Jalen needs improvement. However, the team lacks coaching and communication, leading to a style of play resembling isolation football. Prince, that's actually a very good take by you. That's a very good take. I would agree with that, where you saw some of, you know, Jalen go into that hero ball where he, you know, remember that Seattle game where he defaulted on what the coaches wanted. He went to that play, and that's been talked about a lot. That's a very good point. Now, Prince, here's my question back to you, brother. Did they answer the call with the new coordinators that they hired coming into the year? Because you say lacks coaching and communication. Now, I know Nick Sirianni is still the head of the snake, but Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio are two completely different style coordinators than what we saw the last year. So did they answer the call in terms of the coaching and the communication? I think they did. I think they did with Vic for sure. And I think Kellen Moore is a big upgrade from Brian Johnson. I think he's going to teach Jalen Hurts something he hasn't been taught yet. And that's going to be a good thing for Jalen Hurts. So listen, I hear you. I hear what you're saying there, but I do think they answered that very much. Philly Rapture says, Xander, don't forget to post the training camp videos with some music on it. I will do that. No doubt about it. Rapture. Are you the guy that emailed me that you were like, listen, I got better music for you? If you have better music for you and you want to email me, please email me. I will take the better royalty-free music. Obviously, got to be royalty-free. James Carver, another super chat, man. We appreciate that very much. $19.99. That's $40, everybody, from James Carver today. I mean, come on, James. We appreciate that so much, man. You are one of our biggest supporters. And, you know, I always say this, and I don't have a chance to say it as much when I have another host. The support you guys give to the channel, the super chats, the memberships, even when you just like a video, it does so much more to keep our company alive and growing than you think. This company doesn't exist without you guys. So I appreciate it so much. As the guy that mans everything and runs everything on the back end, I appreciate it more than our other hosts do. They might not want to admit that, but that's the truth. I understand how much you guys go into it. So I appreciate that very much. Let's read James's super chat here. As just a bonus for you, Xander, going solo for the first time since draft, big congrats, brother, and don't hold him being a bammer. People, hit that like button. Jalen did rock the SEC like Cam did. He forced SEC to change. Very true. Carver's holding it against me that I went to Alabama because he's an Auburn guy. Sorry, Carver, but Auburn is completely trash. So don't get me into that. Anyway, good offensive breakdown. We had a lot of good comments on Jalen. It was mostly on Jalen Hurts there, admittedly. But there's not many other questions on offense. I mean, I'm curious to see how Saquon looks. I'm curious on Kellen Moore. I'm curious on, you know, the chemistry between Nick and Kellen. But overall, the offense should be good this year. I think they're going to be good. They have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. And we're going to see, you know, how it all looks when the season rolls around. So we're going to take a break. I'm going to go into the defense as well. We have a good premiere coming up at 9 a.m. It's me and Dan. So I'm premiering a clip from yesterday's show on the National Football Show. I was on with Dan. We talked about Jalen. We talked about a bunch of things. And then we debated hard on the win total. Dan has them winning like seven games. I'm like, man, you can be the biggest Eagles hater in the world. This team isn't winning seven games. So we had a good debate there. That'll premiere at 9 a.m. Nick will be talking, so I will see what he has to say and then potentially go live again later. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm going to try and do as many lives today as I can, not just kind of waiting, you know, for the shows in the afternoon. If something breaks, I'm going to get live and get active with it. Philly559 says, what's your playlist looking like, Xander? I got range on the playlist, Philly. I am not too big in like one style of music, depending on the time of the year, depending on who I'm with. I like really all music. I'm not the same music guy I once was. When I was in college and stuff, I was music, everything, rap, country, you name it, I was playing it. Classic rock. I'm a big classic rock guy. I love classic rock. The old classic rock is some of my favorite stuff. I was recently jamming to some old 1990s Kid Rock. Not the new age crazy stuff, but the great. I mean, he used to have some classic bangers. So I got a lot of range out there on the playlist. Appreciate you asking that personal question. I'm going to get to a commercial break here. Stay tuned, everybody. I'm going to come back. We'll continue to talk about training camp coming up. Nick Sirianni's talking in about 24 minutes. So we'll do that. And then they're on the practice field this morning at 10 a.m. So thanks, everybody, for being here. Make sure you smash the like button. We appreciate you being here. Stay tuned. I'll be right back on this edition of Football 24/7.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
Is the best vacation one that you find or one you get lost in? One that takes you to new heights or reminds you to go with the flow? To get your feet wet and your...
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Skills spinning. One that lets you find your own rhythm or get carried away. Find the best of yourself. Get lost in the woods. Plan your stay in the Wildwoods today.
Win and save this baseball season from Colony Pools and Power Washing, a local company serving Delaware, Delco, and Chester County since 1970. Are you tired of looking at your greenhouse? Is your roof, siding, deck stained green from algae and mold? Let the experts pressure wash your home and take the pressure off of you. Win with Colony Pools and Power Washing. Call them now at 302-762-2250. That's 302-762-2250.
Go passionately. Go fearlessly. go confidently.
Go first!
Go confidently towards your goals with First Trust, Philly's hometown bank for nearly 90 years, and the official bank of the Philadelphia Eagles. We're focused on getting you over the goal line. So go with conviction. Go with trust.
Go first!
And go forward with us by your side. First Trust Bank, the official bank of Philadelphia dreams. Oh, and go Birds.
The greatest fans on earth. It's a bold statement, but would you expect anything less from Philadelphia? 58 years of heartache creates a toughness, a grit, a resolve not found in most. Sure, our prayers were answered, but now that we've had a taste, we're looking for more. Pondley Hockey, official partner of the Philadelphia Eagles.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Welcome back in, everybody. Training camp day, man. Eagles are on the field officially today. Nick Sirianni set to speak in about 20 minutes. Very exciting times for all of our loyal listeners who've been with us all offseason long. We have been waiting for this moment. We've been waiting for the season to get here. I put on my Eagles polo this morning. I'm like, let's go, baby. Eagles are back. So very exciting stuff. Good reference there by Twiz the Jigga. I see that, brother. Devil Without a Cause. That's a good nod there. It's a good song right there. Let's get into the defense, everybody. We talked about it. For anybody just checking in, Cooper DeJean suffered a hamstring injury in the offseason. It's an NFI injury, which means non-football injury. So it must have happened at some wherever he was this offseason. And that's a big hit, man. That's a big hit for this team. I know it's not for the team because we don't know what Cooper's role is going to be, but when you ISO on a guy like that who's drafted where he was drafted, the expectations offseason is that this offseason have been that he might be a starter on the inside. Now, he's going to miss the first 3 weeks of this training camp, which when you're a rookie and you haven't been through this yet, this is your first time for everything. That's a big miss for Cooper DeJean, big hit for him. And we don't know, you know, look, I was hoping we would see some Cooper DeJean come week one. I'm very doubtful on that right now. I got to be honest. I'm very doubtful on that because, like I said, this isn't like it's a guy who's been doing this. This is a guy who has never been through an NFL training camp. This is a guy who's never been through an NFL season. In the first 3 weeks, which are arguably the acclimation period, the, you know, where he's learning the installing of the defense, the Vic Fangio's learning his players, like, he's not going to be out there. So guys like Avante Maddox, guys like Isaiah Rogers, even Quinyon Mitchell, Keely Ringo, these are all guys who just got, you know, heightened awareness in practice because Cooper's not out there. So that is definitely a big hit for anybody just checking in. That's what happened. Cooper DeJean came down with an NFI, non-football injury, hamstring. So they said 3 weeks, but as Barb pointed out earlier in the show, hamstring is something that can linger very much, and we'll see how it plays out. Hopefully Cooper can take the field sooner than later, and it doesn't linger with him. Let's talk defense now. Cooper DeJean was the one big story in the defense, but where are we on the defense? I asked you guys the question on offense. What were you guys thinking? What sticks out to you and where you guys want to be in the offense or what you're looking for coming off that big collapse? Same thing I'll ask on the defense. What sticks out to you guys on this defense? What are you most concerned about? Obviously, I think the big concern is linebackers, but they just don't value the position. Hopefully, Devin White can pull something and be something. I'm not convinced he can be, but, you know, that's what we're hoping as we go into the year. N'Kobe Dean, I'm almost out on just because I'm not certain he can stay healthy in the NFL. Very undersized player. I hasn't been able to stay on the field. He's played 5 games in 3 years. So I don't want to put all my trust in N'Kobe Dean at linebacker. So we'll see where they go on defense. So let's go to the back end on defense in the secondary there. Who will start opposite Darius Slay? That's the question I've been asking our guest on Birds 365. Who will be the guy? And we've had different answers. I mean, we had James Bradbury yesterday. We had John McMullen says Quinyon Mitchell. We had Bill Colarulo who said Keely Ringo. All sorts of, and we've had people in the chat who say Isaiah Rogers. So it's a contested position. I think it's great because we finally got the young talent we've been looking for in the secondary. Now we're going to see who can play and who can't, who's going to get the opportunity to play, and who's going to step up in that role. So it'll be exciting to see, you know, what they end up doing and what they're able to do at that position. The secondary is obviously the biggest one. Let me check on the news and make sure nothing else came down this morning. So, you know, all good still. Waiting for Nick Sirianni to speak here. Scheduled in 17 minutes. Let's hope he is out there in 17 minutes. Here's a little stat for you guys. This is the first time the Eagles opened a training camp without Jason Kelce since 2010. This is a different team now, guys, without Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox. You guys know in the chat how much I like Fletcher Cox as an Eagle, one of my all-time favorite Eagles. No Fletcher this year, so it's going to be interesting to see how that defensive line looks. Let's go to the defensive line, talking about Fletcher. Jalen Carter, very high on Jalen Carter. I think he's going to be an all-pro type of player, but how quickly will he get there? Is he going to be able to make up for the loss of Fletcher Cox, even from a snap count total? You know, I think talent-wise, it's going to be great, but can he be that player all year with the increase in snaps, with the 17-game season, with the, you know, the isolation from the deep, from the offensive lines are probably going to be on blocking Jalen Carter. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what Jalen Carter is able to do this year. I'm very high on him. I think he's going to be an unbelievable player in this league. But, you know, this is the first year where the defense is really on him. So we'll see how it looks on defense. We talked about the back end. Any guys, anything you guys are thinking about? I'm going to go to your chats now. Let me see. Daz says Cooper DeJean already on the IR. It's the NFI list, which is a non-football injury. It's supposed to be 3 weeks, Daz. So hopefully he can return. Philly Rapture checking in. Appreciate it, brother. He says, we need a veteran DT like the Linval Joseph Sue signing. I could not agree more, Philly Rapture. I don't know why they're going in with all three young guys. They got Carter, Davis, and Milton Williams. I'm like, I would argue you need more rotation there. You had all three of those players last year with Fletcher Cox. You need more presence up there. You need more depth. I mean, it's going to take the pressure off of the young guys, and I think that's a huge thing. So I agree with that for sure. No doubt about it. James Carver says, Cooper being hurt will shake everything up in the mix for players kept now. I agree, Carver. That was my first takeaway was all the things we've been projecting are now up in the air. Like Avante Maddox, you could argue he's now a lock for the roster, you know, with Cooper probably not being able to play in week one. Isaiah Rogers, obviously, I didn't think he was going to get cut or anything, but I questioned on where he was going to get a role. Now I think it's more evident that he's going to have one, or it's more likely that he has one with Cooper DeJean not being available. So, you know, I think this is going to delay Cooper not just 3 weeks now, but 3 weeks in the season. So we'll see, you know, how it plays out. Twiz the Jake says, is the gene really hurt or is Howie manipulating the 53? Interesting question there. You know, Howie will play any game he can to get an advantage. So, you know, we'll see how that works out. Cali Baby checks in and he says, I'm a Keely guy on the outside. I love a Cali. He's been my favorite player. And, you know, I listened to John tell the story about, you know, John had an off-the-record conversation with A.J. Brown, and he confirmed with him that he could say this. So, you know, it was off the record, but A.J. said he could say this. A.J. Brown's like, Keely Ringo's going to be a star. He is hard to play against in practice. He's physical. He's big. Keely Ringo is not Darius Slay-sized. He's a taller guy, bigger. He's growing into his pro body a lot more now, which is awesome to see. Physical corner, I'm with you, Cali Baby, no doubt about it. I'd love to see Keely Ringo on that outside. And it'll be interesting to see who gets the job. You know, I think it's tough to say that he's going to get it over Quinyon Mitchell because, I don't know, first-round draft pick, I think they're going to want to get Quinyon on the field. But we'll see, you know, how it goes down. I want to thank everybody again for being here this morning. A lot of good comments, as always. I can't really get to them all, but a lot of good comments. So we appreciate all of them. Let me go to Prince here. Xander, I kind of want to put pressure on Jordan and Jalen at the DT position. I need them to feel like the team is depending on them, which would put them in a fight or flight mentality. So what do you think, Prince? You think start the season with them, put that fight or flight into them, and then maybe sign somebody halfway through the year to take some of that pressure off them? I think that would be a good idea. Just because, look, I said this to John, I've said this to Cilio. I want the Eagles, as much as I'd love them to start 4-0, you know what? I don't care. I want the Eagles to weather the storm, be good enough to get to the playoffs, and play your best ball in December and January, going into the playoffs. That's when I want them to click, right? So my whole thought process, my whole perspective on it is I don't want Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis to be burnt out by that time. So that's why I said I'd like to sign somebody now, because I want them to have a lesser snap count and build up. And then when December comes, they're still have fresh legs. They're ready to go. They're ramping up their production. And that's where I'm like, I'd love for them to have somebody early. But look, I see what you're saying. And to your point, you make a great point. It's true. We would love that for that to happen. I mean, I think that's a positive thing for a young player to feel that kind of pressure, especially when you're a player that has that much talent, right? If you're a guy that is trying to prove yourself and, you know, you weren't a first round pedigree talent, maybe you could argue that that might be the wrong mentality to put you in. But when you're Jalen Carter and you're arguably the most talented player on defense as a second year player in the league, you know, that fight or flight might be a good thing. And that's where I would agree with you. Definitely. That's a good idea to put them in fight or flight. But I want them to play their best ball in December. So is that the best method to get that out of them? I don't think so. Maybe. I don't see it, but yeah, we'll see. Look, 10 minutes to go, guys, until Nick Sirianni speaks. So I'll let you guys go. I'm going to end the show at 9 a.m. I have a premiere running for 9 a.m. Let me make sure that that's set up. Sorry, guys. I'm going to do some business on the fly right here. But Nick Sirianni, 9 a.m., and then practice at 10 a.m. So we'll see how it looks. We'll see what they're able to do today. What we learned today. I'm sure we're going to learn a lot, to be honest with you guys. Let me just schedule this out real quick. But Nick set to speak. And like I said, I normally am not one to give a shit about press conferences, to be honest with you guys. Like, why do I care what a football coach talks about? I care about football on the field, not what they have to say when they're not under oath and they're just trying to feed the media to fulfill their obligations. But with everything that's been said, with Nick Sirianni's role, with, you know, the last 7 weeks of commentary, with the Jalen Hurts comment, a lot of people are going to be waiting to see what Nick Sirianni has to say this morning. So that's going to be a press conference that gets headlines and gets them quick. So we're going to be reacting to him on the channel. I'm probably going to go live again later today, maybe like 10 or 11 a.m.-ish, get some practice updates, get some practice highlights up, and talk about what we heard from Nick Sirianni. So we'll do that later today. And then for anybody checking in, did they push it to 9:15? Callie says no. They pushed it to 9:15. That's very Eagles-esque, by the way, to push it back on day one. They always do that. John McMullen, I see his tweet. Happy day one of Eagles training camp. Nick Sirianni presser at 9:00. Practice at 10:00. Players, including quarterback Jalen Hurts, after. So we're gonna hear from a lot of people today. Maybe I'll go live until 9:15. Take another break at 9:00, and then we'll wrap up, you know, by 9:15 when Nick Sirianni is set to come out. So good stuff there. We'll see what he has to say. Like I said, I don't normally care about press conferences, but it's interesting to see what he's going to say. And Jalen Hurts later today, obviously, who created all the headlines. We'll see what they have to say this year. Let me go to a comment here. Let me look for a good comment. Anything you guys are thinking going into the year? Bruce Banner says, is Sirianni presser going to be live on the Eagles channel? It definitely should be, brother. It should be live over there on the Eagles channel. So make sure you guys check in on that. I want to get clearance to air him on Jacob. They won't give us to him. They are not nice to Jacob Sports over there at the Novacare Complex. I think because, you know, we don't praise the team all the time, and we have Cilio who questions the team and criticizes the team, and they don't love that. I mean, their PR team is not happy with us all the time, so I don't think they're going to give us the green light to air the press conferences. But fuck them, we'll keep going. Whether they want to support us or not, I do not care. I care about more about you guys. Here's Corey checking in. Why not just play the best guy? If Ringo is better, play him. At least he has 1 year experience. Let Mitchell watch and learn. Replace Slay next season if he's the guy. See, that's a good take. And there's another thing I want to add to that, Corey. Thank you for being here, brother. I appreciate it. When I think of Quinyon Mitchell and even watching his highlights from Toledo, and he, to me, is the perfect replacement for Darius Slay because he's the zone corner. He's not overly fast. He's not overly physical. He perfectly fits the Darius Slay mold. So when I think about Mitchell, I'm like, perfect. Give him the year, let him learn from Slay, and replace Slay when Slay is gone. Slay's almost 34 or 35 years old, so obviously he's on the way out the door soon. And that's how I see Mitchell, and that's why I love Keeley on the other side. Like, and you pointed out, why not just play the best guy? Imagine if you played Keeley this year. He gets the reps needed. Quinyon learns from Slay, and then you go into next season with Keeley Ringo, who had a year starting already. Quinyon Mitchell was a first-round talent, replacing Darius Slay, and whoever in the slot. Probably maybe it'll be Cooper DeJean. That looks good to me. That makes me feel great. So that's where I'm like, I think that would be a fantastic move because you kind of set yourself up for the future more. Now, I know you can't only think about the future, but I do think that's a good idea. You know, because it will set you up for the future, but you have to think about this year. So we'll see what they end up doing. Everybody keeps telling me Vic Fangio is going to play who he thinks is best. I'm like, this is Philly, guys. If Howie wants somebody on the field, he's going to be on the field. So we'll see how it plays out. Crawley says he is fast. He runs a 4.33. Now you're right. That's very fast, but I more mean that he's that zone corner that kind of plays like Darius Slay. He's not a man corner. So from that perspective, I think he fits in to follow up Slay really good. And I have no problem if he's on the bench this year. I really don't. You know, everybody's like, they gotta be out there with Quinyon. I'm good with him being on the bench for a little bit. You know, I think he needs to get some reps, but how many is up for discussion. So we'll see you know, how that all works out. The corners will be interesting to see. You know. There's a good comment here I want to get to. It'll be interesting to see, though, what they end up doing at the cornerback position. There's a lot of different ways they can go. There's a lot of different people in the room. So we're going to see what they end up doing. Callie says, I don't know about the Toledo. I'm nervous about that. Me too. Look, I like Quinyon. If it was me, and I'm not an NFL GM, so take it for what it's worth, just my opinion, I probably would have went with the Alabama guy. Now, I know I'm an Alabama guy, so maybe that's why. But I just like pedigree. I like when you play versus the best all the time. And that's kind of where I was. That was my biggest concern with Quinyon Mitchell. And Ringo Island brings up a good point here. He played at Toledo. He needs NFL seasoning. Now, maybe Ringo Island is a Ringo guy and wants Ringo out there. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I'm going to take another commercial break, everybody. We're about an hour into the show, 54 minutes into the show. 8:56. So I want to get, let me just take a break just so I can get an update on where we are. I'm going to go over to X, make sure that Nick Sirianni's not set to speak right now. I'll come back. I was going to end it at 9, but maybe I'll continue to go until Nick Sirianni talks. Stay tuned, everybody. Make sure you smash the like button. I appreciate you all being here. My first show ever really live alone like this. So I appreciate you being here. I appreciate the support. Appreciate the comments as always. Stay tuned. I'll be right back on this special edition of Football 24/7.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
Is the best vacation one that you find or one you get lost in? one that takes you to new heights or reminds you to go with the flow, to get your feet wet and your wheels spinning, one that lets you find your own rhythm or get carried away. Find the best of yourself. Get lost in the woods. Plan your stay in the Wildwoods today.
Win and save this baseball season from Colony Pools and Power Washing, a local company serving Delaware, Delco, and Chester County since 1970. Are you tired of looking at your green house? Is your roof, siding, deck stained green from algae and mold? Let the experts pressure wash your home and take the pressure off of you. Win with Colony Pools and Power Washing. Call them now at 302-762-2250. That's 302-762-2250.
Go passionately. Go fearlessly. Go confidently.
Go first!
Go confidently towards your goals with First Trust, Philly's hometown bank for nearly 90 years, and the official bank of the Philadelphia Eagles. We're focused on getting you over the goal line. So go with conviction. Go with trust.
Go first!
And go forward with us by your side. First Trust Bank, the official bank of Philadelphia dreams. Oh, and go Birds.
The greatest fans on earth. It's a bold statement. But would you expect anything less from Philadelphia? 58 years of heartache creates a toughness, a grit, a resolve not found in most. Sure, our prayers were answered, but now that we've had a taste, we're looking for more. Pondley Hockey, official partner of the Philadelphia Eagles.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Welcome back in, everybody. I'm Xander Krause. Thank you guys for being here. Appreciate it. Eagles training camp day, man. We're 3 seconds out. 2-1. 9 a.m. So it's supposed to be Nick Sirianni speaking, but he is not yet at the podium in very Eagles fashion. He is never on time. But practice is set to start at 10 a.m. today. Nick Sirianni set to speak either now or in about 10, 15 minutes. So we'll see. I'll be following along. I'm doing the best I can, multitasking here, reading comments, doing the show. And trying to keep myself updated and make sure I don't miss any news for you guys on the Eagles front. So appreciate you all being here. I want to thank everybody, Daz and Crowley, Twiz, Mike Fittery, Philly Rapture, ARS Bench, Cali Baby I know is in here, Ray Lester, Real Zeal. Appreciate each and every one of you guys, man. You guys make it fun doing this. I love talking to you guys every day. It really is awesome. Just talking to you guys, you know, I am not a natural like Angelo where I can get up here and talk for 4 hours, but my favorite part about doing this is that I talk to you guys. It really is. I mean, I talk to other Eagles fans. It's the greatest thing ever. It's like when you go out and you're at a family party and some dude wants to talk Eagles with you. It's the best conversation of the day. So I love talking with you guys. Something you guys are talking about in the chat. I was reading your guys' comments during the break. The Georgia guys, that's something I want to get into here because I was just talking about the defense and, you know, maybe it's my fault. The Georgia guys didn't come up and, you know, this is really going to be the year of the Georgia guys. Now, we talked about Jalen Carter a little bit, so forgive me for that. We did talk about him at least, but you got N'Kobe Dean, who, big question marks. I'm almost at the point where I'm ready to say I'm out on N'Kobe Dean, very close to that point. You got Jalen Carter, who I'm very high on. I have no concerns with him. Now, how good will he be for all 17 and through the playoffs this year? That's a big question. But I think Jalen Carter, I'm pretty confident in. Jordan Davis, I don't want to call him a bust. I don't think he's a bust at all. I think he's a good player. I think the draft position has kind of tainted the expectations of him. I think Jordan Davis eats up two blockers. He's a true nose tackle. And it's fair to say, It is fair to say. I'm not one of the people that doesn't like Jordan Davis, but it's fair for people to say he's not productive enough for the 13th overall pick. I'm not saying I agree with it, but it's fair for them to say that because he was taken where he was taken, and he doesn't produce a lot of sacks. He doesn't, you know, he's not that type of player. So I understand the concern with him, but at the end of the day, I think he is doing his job. I mean, think about this. You have Bryce Huff on one side, Josh Sweat on another, Milton and Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis is in the middle. Jordan Davis is going to eat up two blockers. And if he doesn't, he is going to pile drive the one center or tackle that is blocking him. So he's going to create mismatches for all the rest of the defensive line all day long. He makes life easier for Jalen Carter, for Milton Williams, for Bryce Huff. And that's where I think his real value is that he's impossible to block. And, you know, he might not be the sack guy. He might not be the pressure guy all the time. And that's where I feel like, you know, the evaluation of him is tainted. And I get it. I really do. But look, I think he's a good player. I think he's highly athletic. I got another great story. I met Jordan Davis. Jacob Sports produced the Maxwell Awards, and I met him there. I met a bunch of Eagles there, by the way. I met Jalen Hurts there. I have a good picture of me and Jalen. I met Nick Sirianni there. I told the story of Nick Sirianni. For anybody that hasn't heard that story, that's a good one. I should tell it again. I met Big Dom there, met BG. I know BG from other places. I've met him many times. But and I met Jordan Davis there. This is before he was an Eagle. So the year that he won, I think it was the Butkus Award he won, or no, not the Butkus. I forget what the award he won was at the Maxwells. But anyway, this was right before the draft. This is like, I think, March of that year, right a month or a month and a half before he got drafted. And I remember running around producing the event, and I run through a room to try and get something for somebody that needed something or whatever. And Jordan Davis is sitting there, and I stop and I have a conversation with Jordan Davis, and I'm like, man, we need you in Philly. And he was just so jacked up, by the way. I mean, the only reason I say that, though, is because he is, like, when you look at Jordan Davis up close, now I know this isn't everything. I get it. It's just what it is. But he looks like a football player, man. He looks like a defensive lineman. Like, you're like, holy shit, this guy is a beast. Like I mentioned, I saw Dom. I saw Jalen Hurts. I saw Nick Sirianni. I saw BG. Like, I saw a lot of other players there that were winning awards and defensive from all over the country. When you see Jordan Davis in person, you're like, that guy is a man amongst boys. Like, he is built for the NFL. And I know that's all that is. It doesn't matter much. It doesn't care about that. Doesn't matter for his productivity. But I will say he looks the part, and very nice guy, by the way. I had a great conversation with him before he got drafted. But anyway, my point is that he looks the part. And if he's coached up properly, you see the athleticism, you see the flashes. I think he can be a great player for this team, a great nose tackle, and do his job well and effectively. And that will create great opportunities for the rest of the defensive line. So good stuff there. Let's go to our next Georgia guy is, I would say, Kelee Ringo. You know, a lot of talking about him, if whether he's starting on the outside. We talked a little bit about him. He's that bigger physical corner. He dominated the SEC when he played there, everybody. He was really, really good in the SEC. I mean, really tough to play against. Quarterbacks did not throw the ball to him often. You know, he came out very early in the draft, arguably a year early. Actually, I make the bold prediction that if Kelee Ringo stayed another year, he's 22 and he just turned 22, like literally just turned 22 20 days ago. June 27th is his birthday. So if he stayed in school, he got drafted when he was 20 years old. I think he would have been drafted above Quinion Mitchell, but now we end up with both of them. What a beautiful thing. So we're going to see how he plans out. Nakobe Dean is probably the biggest one with the sights on him. I think Jalen and Jordan are good. I think Keeley's good. And then you have that running back that they took an undrafted free agent. So we'll see what he can do, but it's really the year of the Georgia Bulldog. We got to see what these guys are able to do this year. How good they are is going to be a long way, and how good the whole defense is. So we'll see how it all plays out. Yeah, just getting the updates now. Howie Roseman is going to speak with Nick at Nick 9:15. So we'll get out of here in a couple minutes so we can go and listen to that. I want to make sure I listen to it so I'm up to date as well, and I can give you guys the best commentary possible. So I'm going to get out of here in about 3 or 4 minutes. Any other comments, any other things you guys want me to hit on real quick before we get out of here? Obviously, the big news of the day is Quinion Mitchell out for 3 weeks with the hamstring injury. We'll see what he's able to do. That's a big one. You know, that's a tough hit for him. You know, you're a rookie. You've never been through any of this. You've never been through a training camp. You've never been through an NFL season. That's a tough, tough hit when you're not able to be out there, you know, for the start of camp. It's just I hate hearing it. I really do, because – Look, if it was, like I said, if he was a guy who already had a year of experience under his belt, I wouldn't care so much. I would say get healthy, get back. But this is, you know, this is his first year and he's out. And that's, you know, that's tough to miss the first couple weeks of the training camp where you're onboarding, where you're getting everybody ready. I mean, Vic Fangio is getting a first look at his players, real good look with pads on and stuff. So it's tough that Cooper DeJean is out for these first couple weeks, but that's how it broke. So we'll see. Let me see if anybody is up there. Shoot, that's a good perspective. But yeah, now all of a sudden it's no longer just Nick. It's going to be Howie too. So yes, Howie is there to babysit him in very Eagles fashion and very Nick Sirianni fashion. Not the greatest look for him to answer the questions of the offseason, but that's how they're going to do it. I want to thank everybody for being here. I'm going to get out of here. So I'm going to get ready for this press conference. I'm going to see how it all breaks out. We're going to remember everybody. 6 p.m. tonight after the National Football Show. You guys better be there. I expect to see all you guys there. 6 to 8 p.m. Johnny Mack and I will be live for Birds 365, a special nighttime edition. He is down there at NovaCare, so he's going to get the up-close and personal look at all this stuff, and he'll talk about it all on Birds 365 tonight. So thanks, everybody, for being here. I'm going to get out of here. Let's go listen to this press conference, see how it is. I'll probably come back live up a little later this morning to respond to what Nick has to say. I'm sure it's going to make a ton of headlines right away. So thanks, everybody, for being here. Make sure you guys smash the like button on your way out. And I'll talk to you guys later today on Jacob Sports, and we'll keep you posted on Birds 365 and the National Football Show coming up later. I'm going to run my Birds outro right now, even though this isn't Birds 365. I'm going to run the outro now. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Smash the like button on your way out. Let's see what Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman has to say for the Philadelphia Eagles.
You've been listening to Birds 365, the destination for the passionate Eagles football fan who bleeds green. If it's Eagles football, we're talking about it. Debate inside the locker room and guests that are some of the greatest football minds from around the region. We hope you enjoyed the show. We know we had a blast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hook up with us on social media at Jacob Sports. See you next time on Birds 365.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.